Welcome to Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Megillas Rus, Perek Beis. We ended Perek Aleph with the return of Naomi, accompanied by Rus, to the city of Beis Lechem. While much of the focus in Perek Aleph was on Naomi and her decision to return, Perek Beis begins with Rus suggesting to go find food for them both. We don't really know where they live and what they eat as soon as they return back to Beis Lechem. And at this point, Rus decides to go out herself to collect. As she chooses a field to collect grain from, the pasuk informs us that she happens upon the field of Boaz, who we were briefly introduced to in Pasuk Aleph as the relative of Naomi and Elimelech's family. The Midrash identifies Elimelech and Salmon, Boaz's father, as brothers, and both were sons of Nachshon ben Aminadav. When the pasuk introduces Boaz, it says, Ushmo Boaz, his name was Boaz, which is a specific type of introduction reserved for righteous people, like Ushmo Mordechai from Megillas Esther, and tells us something about his character. Not only did Boaz happen to visit his field the same day and notice Rus in the field, but he asks his reapers about her. One of them answers him that she is the Moaviah, for who returns with Naomi. Boaz tells Rus that she should only collect grain from his field, and she should follow his Na'aros, female workers. He also tells her he has commanded his male workers not to bother her, and that she should drink from his water vessels when she is thirsty. Rus is extremely appreciative and asks Boaz why he is showing such kindness to her, a stranger. Boaz answers that he has heard about her kindness in leaving her homeland and joining a new nation, and blesses her that she should be rewarded for her actions. At mealtime, he invites her to join his workers for bread. He informs his workers to allow her to collect also among the sheaves and to pull out some for her from what was gathered. At night, she carries her ephah measure of grain back with her to Naomi. Upon seeing this amount, Naomi asks Rus where she had collected from, and Rus answers from Boaz's field. Upon hearing this, Naomi blesses Hashem for this act of kindness and tells Rus who Boaz is to them. Rus continues to collect grain from Boaz's field through the end of the harvest and returns to her mother-in-law. Once Naomi returns to Beis Lechem, it does not seem like anyone, whether family or friends, is proactive about reaching out to support her and acknowledge any help she may have given them in the past. Although the Midrash tells us that Boaz was ostensibly an avel, a mourner, when they first arrived, we don't see afterwards any gestures made by him either. It seems that Naomi and Rus are still, in a sense, living in a famine. Yet Rus has no expectations and offers to put the effort in herself and to go collecting. And Pasuk Gimel says, Vayikher Mikra, she happens upon Boaz's field. But of course, this is anything but coincidental and truly amazing that Hashem made this happen and that she ended up where she was supposed to be without anyone giving her any directions or guidance as to who the owner of the field was. And on top of this, Vihine Boaz Ba, Hashem made it that, behold, Boaz was present on that day, which was also unusual. The Midrash notes that Boaz was scrupulous about mitzvah observance and was coming to check that the mitzvot involving the harvest, like shichacha, involving sheaves that were forgotten, and leket, collecting ones that have fallen, were ultimately being implemented appropriately on his property. Pasuk Gimel starts off with an interesting sequence of verbs that root engaged in. Vatelech, vatavo, vatilaket, and she went, and she came, and she collected, indicating that maybe Rus had to go to several fields and was not accommodated at first until ultimately coming to Boaz's. What was it about Rus that made Boaz inquire about her when he sees her in Pasuk Hey? The Midrash notes that she exercised unusual modesty when she collected. Instead of bending over, she sat when she collected. She didn't flirt or act frivolously with the reapers and only collected from stalks that were hefker, ownerless, as the halacha expected. She remains focused and diligent. The Gemara in Shabbos teaches us and comments on Boaz's behavior. V'chi darko shel Boaz lish'ol ben'ara? Is it proper for Boaz to have been asking about a woman? Amar Rav Elazar, dvar chachma ra'aba. But it was that he saw something wise, something unusual in what she did. Shtei shibalin loketet. She knew the halacha that for two sheaves she could collect. Shalosh shibalin ina loketet. But when there were three, she was not permitted to do so. Boaz is really the first one to recognize Rus, and in doing so, he asks, Lemi ha na'ara hazos? He uses hazos, the same word. Who is this na'ara that the town people used when seeing Naomi? Hazos Naomi. Is this Naomi? And in doing so, he transforms her from being a stranger to being someone with an identity. It's interesting to note that Rus was consistently referred to in the text as Rus HaMoaviyah several times. Yet in Pasuk Ches, when Boaz addresses her, it's only as Rus. He also, when speaking to her, says Biti, a term of endearment that no one in Beis Lechem had embraced her with other than Naomi. When he speaks with his workers, we also see unusual things about Boaz's speech. Hashem's name is on his lips. He proclaims, Hashem imachem, Hashem is with you, when he addresses them. And they respond with, Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you. Rus Rabba teaches that Boaz instituted this, that people should inquire after each other in the name of Hashem, weaving Hashem into the social interactions, which seems like a necessary improvement for his time period. Boaz's instructions to Rus in Pasuk Ches are that she should attach herself to his female workers, Sidbakin im narosai. And the word Sidbakin, the root, is the same as when Rus attaches herself to her mother-in-law in Perek Aleph, Virus Davkaba. Because of the merit of that initial act of attachment, here Rus is rewarded with Boaz's generosity. This shorish is also repeated later in Psukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Gimel when the story at Boaz's field is repeated. We can also learn something symbolic from the instructions that Boaz gives to Rus in Pasuk Tes of being able to drink from the water that was drawn. Dr. Yael Ziegler points out that this is a possible version and allusion to the biblical type scene of couples seeking a mate by the source of water, often a well, such as in the stories involving the marriages of Yitzchak to Rivka, Yaakov to Rachel, and Moshe to Tzipporah. In all these accounts, there's the commonality of it occurring in a distant land by water, and often to someone with a familial relationship. Although in this case, we're seeking a marriage for Rus, and in the other examples, it was the males seeking their future wives. But still, we can see that connection of Rus to their example. Rus Rabba views Psukim Ches and Tes as part of Rus's conversion process and orientation towards mitzvah observance. Boaz's directions were patterned after mitzvos. For example, Al telchi lilkot besadeh acher, do not go glean in another field, matches up with Lo yiyelacha Elohim acherim, don't make for yourself other gods, a focus on acher, on other, do not worship other gods. Vishasis me'asher yishavun ha-ne'arim, drink from the vessels that the servants have drawn, which means to indicate to her that she should associate with righteous people. And the root leket, as I mentioned earlier for the mitzvah of leket, appears 10 times in this perek, referring to this mitzvah of collecting grain in the field. When Boaz praises Rus in Pasuk Yud Aleph, we once again see linguistic parallels between her journey from her birthplace and parents' house to Avraham's Lech Lecha. Both Avraham and Rus took tremendous acts of faith and trust. And although Avraham was promised rewards and blessings from Hashem for this leap of faith, Rus does so without any reward offered. Avraham is promised by Hashem both a name and the land of Israel. When Elimelech leaves the land during the famine, he seems to be forfeiting this bracha that had been given to Avraham and puts his continuity and continuation of his name in jeopardy. Yet now we're being introduced to Boaz as an individual who has a name, Ushmo Boaz, and has land, and maybe can be the one to restore these values within his family and possibly attach both himself and his family and the nation back to Avraham. In Pasuk Yud, Rus is so appreciative for how she's treated and shows modesty and humility by not expecting anything more. Although interestingly, the Midrash criticizes Boaz's generosity with regards to providing Rus with food. The Midrash says, had Boaz known that his acts were being recorded, he would have fed her fattened animals instead of grains of barley. It would have been a fleshig meal. What does that exactly mean? Are we supposed to conclude that Boaz was only acting generously to look good in the eyes of others? There are those that explain this midrash to mean that deep down, what was happening here and what the midrash was trying to convey is that Boaz wanted to provide a significant meal, but he was unsure what circumstances were being orchestrated by Hashem with regards to Rus and what his obligation was and ultimately supposed to be. So he chose not to go overboard. We will see such deliberations in the next perek as well. But what we do know is that whatever amount he gave Rus, she was blessed to be satisfied with less and was able to bring home sustenance for Naomi. In Boaz's praise for Rus in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he notes how she has joined a nation that she did not know yesterday or the day before. Based on this phrase, the Midrash teaches us that Rus actually had only joined the nation a day or so before, due to a halacha that was literally just publicized regarding converts from Moab. The Beis Din had just elucidated that the pasuk from Devarim in Perek Chaf Gimel, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem, about prohibiting converts from Ammon and Moab, only applied to the males and not females. Amoni velo Amonis, Moavi velo Moavis. Since it was only the males that were treated us badly when we wanted to pass through their lands back in the Midbar, in the desert. Boaz, being a communal and knowledgeable leader, became aware of this halacha as soon as it was decided by the Beis Din. And he praises Rus loudly and publicly, as seen through the word vaya'an in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so that this halacha and her virtues could become more known to others in the city. And in fact, we know, despite this, that the halacha takes time to gain traction and will surface in Midrashim in Sefer Shmuel by some who question David's origins as he assumes the kingship. Throughout the conversation between Rus and Boaz, we see allusions to the future kingship that will emerge from their union. In Pasuk Yud Beis, Boaz says, "Vatehi maskur tech shlema, your reward should be complete from Hashem." But the word shlema can also be read with the same letters, different vowels, as Shlomo, the future king and great-great-grandson of Rus and Boaz, which Rus merited to be the great-great-grandmother of. In Pasuk Yud Daled, Boaz tells Rus, "Goshi halom, approach here to eat with us." The word halom is highlighted by the Mefarshim as a reference to a statement made by David HaMelech in Shmuel Bey's Perek Zion, when he thanks Hashem for allowing him to reach this milestone, the point of kingship, to be close to building the Mikdash. Ki hevisani ad halom, that you have brought me to this point. And you can check out Masachet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, for even more linguistic references of this nature. We see a significant shift from last parak when we read Pasuk Chaf. Naomi is hopeful when she recognizes Hashem's hand in what has transpired. Baruch Hu LaHashem, and she makes reference for the first time to the word Goel, a redeemer. Migoalenu Hu, in reference to Boaz. And she includes Rus in the statement, he is our redeemer. We get a sense from the psukim of a more intimate relationship developing between Rus and Naomi, and really feeling like family, with many references to the words chamosa, mother-in-law, and kalasa, daughter-in-law, in the last few psukim of this perek. Whereas in pasuk beis of the perek, they're just referred to as simply Rus and Naomi, without mention of the familial association. A couple points as we close out this perek. Although we are introduced to Boaz, the Ish Gibor Chayil, in the beginning of the perek, as Boaz, the Midrash informs that he was actually one of the Shoftim. The name Ivtzan, who's recorded in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Beis, as being a wealthy Shofate from the city of Beis Lachem. And although we have seen tremendous generosity from Boaz in this perek in terms of food and public praise, his behavior does not extend beyond this, and we don't read of any direct interaction between himself and Naomi. As Rus continues to collect from his field for the three-month duration of the harvest, Naomi holds out for a move from Boaz as redeemer, and Perek Beis ends with those desires unfulfilled. While the immediate needs of food for short-term survival have been realized, the goals of continuity for the family of Elimelech are still unrealized and hanging in the balance. This year is dedicated by Debbie and Yossi Rosenberg in loving memory of their dear grandmother, Mrs. Ruth Friedman, Rivka Bas Yaakov, Aleha Shalom.